Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns headlined this episode of Raw with a promo segment, a chat, a face-to-face, a tete-a-tete, and it was awesome.
So good.
So great. And I am Luke Owen, D-A-D. I'm joined by my challenger for the Jam That Championship at WrestleMania, Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hi.
Welcome to the WrestleTalk Podcast review of Monday Night Raw. If this is your first time here, please do press that subscribe button. Help us get on our way to 85,000 subscribers. Give us a little thumbs up as well. Help us in the algorithm. Leave a comment down below if you're watching this on demand. But if you're watching live, click the link to WrestleTalk.com/support and get your thoughts, statements read out on the air above the $5 US level. Now, we are going to try and do as best we can on this show, but Rosie Nichols has unplugged the clock. So,
oh my God.
There should be a clock here, but Rosie Nichols yesterday, in an act of madness, one would presume, unplugged it. So I have no idea what the time is anymore.
No, absolutely no idea what the time could possibly be.
It is impossible. You suggested to me earlier, just before we started, I was like, I don't know what the time is. You said, your laptop is right there, but I have to do this. To see what the time is. I have to look it's tiny in the corner, Pete.
Yeah.
How could I possibly tell?
I can read it from here, Luke.
There's also one on
the
iPad.
There's also one on the tablets that we use.
But this tablet is wrong. It says it's 8 a.m. My watch stopped on August 1st, 2019 and hasn't come since at 20 past 3. Might have been 2020, actually. August 1st, 2020, I think this watch stopped.
And I have a watch that works.
So
there's no way for us to tell the time, is what
we're saying.
We will
do the best we can, is all I'm saying. But people who weren't doing the best that they could, because these guys apparently can do no bad segments, it's Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns.
So here's a question for you before,
yes,
before we dive into this.
Uh-huh.
Do we want to talk about all of the Bloodline stuff on this show in one? Do we want to go chronologically? Do we want to start with the main event and work back? How do you want to do this?
Yes, no, because I think the other Bloodline segment, the Bloodline segment, is more tied into the Owens and Zayn stuff than it is this one.
All right.
But there was a couple of Bloodline segments, one of which we'll get into a little bit later, but the other one was the wise man, Paul Heyman, saying, Roman Reigns is really happy with everything you guys are doing. I don't think he is. And sent them back to the private jet.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of different types of fish there.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants the Usos gone,
yep,
but Solo to stay.
Yep.
So Solo Sikoa was in the ring with them here.
This is why I think everything is linked, because the flow of this show was so bright. I'll talk about it more later. The flow of this show was so good.
I've just had a note from Jenna to try and send someone from the office to come and apparently the chat is saying the camera's super blurry. It looks really crisp here, but
looks really good. But you know what? I'll try my best.
The YouTube latency might be doing us in a little bit. But Pete will try and fix us the best he can.
It is blurry.
Oh, yeah?
They are right.
Everything's so blurry. Everyone's so fake. little bit of puddle of mud for you there. But anyway, so Solo Sikoa was in the ring for this segment here. Roman Reigns came out. This had 20 minutes left of the show, but there was only about 5 minutes left after Roman did his 15-minute entrance. and then Cody came out immediately.
He just said, acknowledge me.
Yeah.
And that's all he got.
Cody came out absolutely immediately to do this. And Graves was sure to note that Cody Rhodes is the only threat to Roman's title, just in case there's anyone still thinking, hey, maybe Sammy could be added some way. No, no, no. Cody is the only threat for this championship. And Cody had a really, really interesting question to ask Roman, which is, Mr. Heyman has constantly talked about the Cody problem. So I want to hear from you, Roman Reigns. Define for me, what is a Cody problem?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Heyman goes to say something. He's like, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you, wise man. I don't want to hear from Mr. Heyman. Will you please just take a step back? I want to hear from the tribal chief on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And off mic, you just hear Paul Heyman just being like, I tried to speak. I tried to tell him. And Roman cut this superb promo.
I love it. I love it so much.
Which is that Cody Rhodes is what Roman Reigns used to be, a pro wrestler. Roman isn't a pro wrestler anymore. He's a fighter. He's a megastar. He doesn't need to be a pro wrestler in this business anymore. He runs this business. He is this business. And he had this thing about Cody where Cody couldn't handle things in WWE. So he ran away. Literally says, you couldn't handle Stardust.
You didn't want to do Stardust. So you didn't ran want to do away. Stardust.
So you ran away.
Yep.
You ran away and started your own promotion and you couldn't get over there. So you ran away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You ran back to WWE. And what happened? Pressure got to you and you popped a tit. And you ran away again to go get that healed. And then you're stepping up here and you keep saying that you're going to finish the story on April 2nd. April 2nd, April 2nd. Well, that's not the date you need to be worried about. The date you need to be worried about is April 3rd, because that's the day you're going to wake up and realize that you couldn't beat me.
And he said, on that day, you're going to have to make a choice. And you can make a choice that will make your daddy proud, or you can run away again like a little bitch. I was like, pretty good promo, that.
Pretty good promo.
Pretty good, pretty good, pretty good.
It was an awesome, 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 excellent little promo here. I loved it so, so much.
But I think Cody's retort was better.
Well, okay, so cards on the table.
Yep.
Yes, Cody's retort was better.
Yes.
I have one slight criticism on this, though.
Mm-hmm.
Cody opened his segment of the promo saying, yes, I am a pro wrestler. But I don't need you to bring up my dad, because if anyone brings up my dad, I will throw up. And I was like, have you heard any of your promos for the last, I don't know, 5 years of your career?
Yeah.
Virtually every promo you've had since you've come back to WWE, pot kettle black, mate. You come up here being like, oh, don't bring up my dad. That's a bit of a low bar, isn't it?
I still kind of liked it, because I think Cody was like, all right, we've talked about my dad enough. Can we move on now? Because like every single promo that Roman or Heyman has got on Cody has been about his dad.
So is Cody's!
That's not true.
That is!
That's not true!
Cody thanked Paul Heyman because he got his dad work.
Yeah, I know, but it's not every segment. Every time Cody's been like, I'm going to win on April 2nd because I'm going to win a world title. Like, it's not every promo. There has been mentions of his dad.
Yeah, and I will be the first Rhodes to win a world title, because his whole point of coming back is his dad could not win the title.
I'm aware of that. It's not been every promo, though. That's the point.
It hasn't been every promo.
It's not true.
It has been. Every promo Cody has ever cut in his career.
It's not true, Luke.
He's called the American Nightmare, Pete.
I'm aware.
His dad's name is tattooed on his tit. Everything is about his dad. I don't think it's very fair to go and be like, oh man, I bring up my dad. I think that's a bit of a low blow, isn't it?
I still think it's fine.
You can 100% have this line as long as you acknowledge that you do it as well.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't mind that at all. But anyway, that's my one thing. Said that, park that over here. Also mentioned, he's got no one healing. His dad can't come down. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about his dad, of course. Mm. Can't talk about, you know, his dad can't come down and give a bionic elbow to anyone. Can't be there to support him. His brother works elsewhere. If his mother was here, she would tell him that he needs to knock Roman Reigns out. And he mentioned that April 3rd is an important date because that's the date that Roman is going to wake up having remembered what it is like to lose. And do you know what's going to happen to you, Roman, when you, after that moment? Jay's going to leave you. And do you know what's going to happen after Jay leaves you? Jimmy is going to leave you. And do you know what happens after the Usos leave you? Solo. And he clocks eyes on Solo. And then he's almost like broke out the promo for 1 second. He's like, actually, Solo, you've been staring daggers in me ever since I stepped into this ring. So let me give you a bit of free advice. As someone, a second generational wrestler who once flanked a world champion down to the ring, let me tell you something. You're not ready.
You think you're ready when you're in that position, but you're not ready.
You're not ready.
Yep.
I know, because I've literally been in the same shoes that you have.
Yep.
You're not ready.
Which is true, because Cody wasn't ready.
Yeah, of course it is.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's because he's going to beat him next week on Raw.
Of course.
And he then goes back to Heyman, and he says, once Solo goes, Paul Heyman just becomes an advocate again.
Mm-hmm. Kind of insinuating that he might go back to Brock Lesnar. Like, he's not going to stop being the wise man. He's just going to go back to being an advocate again.
And then what does that make you? You're a Roman without a reign. You're a chief without a tribe.
Oh, that line was so good. I popped so hard. When Cody said that line, that was a literal... When I was watching at home this morning, I was watching the episode. When he said that line, you'd be a chief without a tribe. I was like, oh, God, that's good.
It was very good. Mm-hmm. And then... I thought, and this for me was the absolute money moment of this. I'm not going to say anything.
Roman doesn't know what to say.
Roman's got nothing.
Got no comeback.
So he just drops the mic and he leaves.
And he just walks away. Just
walks out.
And he doesn't try to attack Cody. He's not just like, shut up. No, I'm going to beat you up. He's rattled. And the thing is, what I loved was Roman is doing his normal, like, stoic. When he's cutting his promo, it's stoic Roman. He's like, I'm going to win. I'm Roman Reigns. You're nothing, blah, blah, blah. As soon as he says, Jay's going to leave you, Roman's demeanor just shatters, and he's like, what? No, he's not. Shut up. No. And he's like, so like rattled from this one statement,
which does tie into the segment that we got earlier that we'll discuss later.
Yep.
Roman knows. Roman knows that Jay is not really on his side right now.
He's so insecure about it. Oh man. Insecure.
And when the Usos lose
the
tag titles,
that's going to
spell disaster for Roman at Sacrifice and night two of WrestleMania
when he
defends the belts.
Yeah.
So he just leaves, just walks out the ring. But Solo doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Solo stays in the ring, much to the chagrin of Roman Reigns, who barks at him.
Yeah.
Solo, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that he barked Solo's name during the trial of Sami Zayn, barking at Solo to come out and join him out of the ring. And Solo doesn't. And Solo takes off his hoodie. He goes to hit the Samoan Spike, and Cody kicks it out of the way and says to him, I told you weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman has to hold Solo back. And that's when the show ends.
It was so perfect, because it wasn't even like a strong, like, oh, I need to hold him back because Solo's going kind of thing. Solo was like, getting fired up. He was like, went to go for it. And Roman literally just put a hand on his shoulder. It's like,
nope.
Just don't.
Nope.
Which to me, kind of says to me, because then Roman looked at Cody and his whole body language was like, yeah, kind of agree with Cody. Solo's not ready.
He's not ready.
Oh, I love this. This was perfect. This was absolutely perfect. Because I think... Here's my not-so-hot take theory. Cody has just spelled out exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Come Mania, everyone will lose their belts. Jay and Jimmy are going to leave. Solo's going to leave. Roman's going to have a meltdown. End of the bloodline.
My big, bold prediction. Raw after Mania is when Roman turns on Jay.
Yeah.
I think because like the segment that we had earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you know what, Pete? We should talk about it now. We should get into it now.
I told you, Luke.
Yeah, no, you are right. We've referenced it a couple of times. We probably should talk about this now. So this was after the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn stuff at the start.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn challenged the Usos. The Usos
initially declined.
Jimmy refused.
Yep.
And Jay accepted.
Jay accepted it.
Nice little bit there. And then backstage, Roman was with the Usos and Solo and Heyman.
Yep.
And Roman says, like, not the best start tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy talks about how, like, you know, hey, I got hurt when we got hit by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but nothing hurts more than having my brother taken away from me.
That is an incredibly important line.
Sure is.
Jimmy Uso saying nothing hurts him more than being torn apart from my brother and me being blamed for it. Which is exactly what Roman Reigns did to him. It's exactly what he did to Jimmy when he first introduced him to the Bloodline, and it's what he did to Jay to make him submit in the I Quit match.
And it's what he was doing to Jimmy in the lead up to Jay coming back here.
Exactly.
Was, you've got to bring Jay back.
You've got to bring Jay back.
You've got to bring Jay back, or I'm going to take it out on you.
It's exactly what Roman Reigns has been doing, and you saw that. Everyone's expressions looked to Jimmy like, Jimmy goes, that's why I'm never going to forgive Sami Zayn. And you could see Roman being like, oh, thank God. Like, he's not turning on me.
He hasn't realized it's me.
Oh, and brilliant.
Roman asks everyone to leave, apart from Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Go to commercial, we come back. And Jay is back, he's making decisions, but you've got a decision you need to make. Are you still in the Bloodline? Are you still my family?
Mm-hmm.
And Jay says, yeah, I am.
I'm with you.
And Roman just looks at him and says, I hope you are.
Mm.
I hope you are. No, because Roman is not, he's not convinced here.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay gets up to leave. Roman just sort of stops him from getting up and just says, very quietly and very sinister, I love you.
And Jay just looks off in the middle distance, just, and his eyes are calculating constantly. He's like, why has he said that? And then he gets up and leaves.
Doesn't say it back.
Oh.
Does not say it back. He just gets up and he leaves.
And then Heyman comes in.
And asks Roman, did you get your answers, my tribal chief? And Roman says, yeah, I did. Because that is your SummerSlam main event.
And also, this is an exact repeat of a segment that Roman had with Sami.
Yeah.
The exact same thing. Are you Bloodline? And Sami's like, yeah, of course. And he goes, that's what I needed to hear. Paul Heyman comes in. Did you get the answers you want? Yes, wise man, I did. And then Sami turned on him. Ugh! This is so good.
Yeah, I think 100p, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I'm putting good Dangor money down on Roman turning on Jay, pulling the trigger before Jay gets the chance to do it.
Maybe.
And that'll be, you know, that's something for Jay that Jay's going to have to struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't pull the trigger when he had the chance. And he had multiple opportunities to do it, and he never did. I think Roman turns on him. Or maybe it is Jay turns on Roman. And we lead to, and you know, because the report is Roman's taking time off after Mania. Excuse me. And you can bring Roman back then for SummerSlam. Jay versus Roman, SummerSlam main event.
Could totally do that.
Yeah.
I think this show, like that opening bit, combined with the KO and Sammy opener, leading into that backstage promo, into the other one, into this main event, is like, it's so perfectly set up the downfall of the Bloodline. Because now, every single member of the Bloodline, bar Paul Heyman to a degree, has an issue with Roman Reigns. Jay has an issue with Roman, notably. Jimmy has an issue with Roman, which was brought up again on this show because you had the dynamic of, like, nothing hurts more than being torn apart from a brother. And everyone's like, oh yeah, Roman did do that to him, didn't he? And then you have this bit with Solo at the end, where Solo wanted to attack Cody, and Roman's like, no. And that's a bit where Solo's going to be like, what, does he not think I'm ready?
Because Roman knows. Well, that's kind of the beautiful thing about Solo is that, you know, the story is, at the moment, the reports are WWE are protecting Solo Sikoa because he's going to get the big push in this year.
Mm.
But storyline-wise, Roman's also protecting him.
Yeah.
Roman's only putting him in positions that he knows he can thrive in.
Yeah.
And this is a position where he knows he can't thrive. If he went up against Cody Rhodes, like Cody did, is going to be able to take Solo down.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a way to block the Samoan spike that no one's thought of, which is kicking the hand out of
Kick
the way.
Kick him, yeah.
And he's protecting Solo from being exposed. Yep. But in Solo's eyes, that's just going to be like, well, you don't think I'm ready either.
Yeah.
Because Roman's not saying to him, oh, I'm stopping you because of this. He is protecting him so that he doesn't have to know that Roman might think that.
Mm-hmm. And it's the fact that the show ended with Roman stopping Solo and then making direct eye contact with Cody and almost giving him like a nod of respect. It was literally just like a real like calculating look at Cody. This was absolutely phenomenal. And I think with that Cody promo and with all these seeds that have been planted for the last like 2.5 years, but also specifically on this show of reminding how everybody is actually has an issue with Roman, for Cody to specifically say, the Bloodline will end after WrestleMania. I think that's exactly where we're going. And that is why I absolutely adored this show, because it told you exactly where we're going, gave you all the seeds that needed to be planted. And it's a really interesting story. I'm so into this.
We were talking just before we started, like, you in your edited review gave this a 5 out of 5 show.
Easy.
And I, on the strength of just the Bloodline stuff, mm-hmm. I would say, yeah, because it was really, really good Bloodline stuff. This is like the most I've really been into this Bloodline story, certainly from a Raw perspective, mm-hmm. since the trial of Sami Zayn, which I thought was a home run money segment.
Yeah.
And I think it also exposes a lot of the poorness across the rest of the Mania card, mm-hmm. which is that nothing else feels on the level that this is. And I think even across this show, like, the majority of the show was a serviceable 3 out of 5 episode.
I disagree.
But the Bloodline stuff is so much better than everything else. And it is so great that it does it on its own strength. But again, I think it does expose that Raw has a real depth problem, that the only person who's made this show feel special is Roman Reigns, who is not on this show.
Yeah, but I mean, I watched a great show. So, like, I don't care. I watched a really good wrestling show.
I know, but we've got to watch Raw next week.
I know.
And Roman ain't on that show.
But that's not a flaw of this TV episode.
No, I'm not saying it's a flaw of this episode. I'm saying it is a flaw of... It's a bigger...
Yes.
Taking a step out and looking at the bigger picture.
For sure.
That is the bigger picture. That is the bigger problem that Raw has. I think it's actually the bigger problem that WWE has.
Mm.
But I think SmackDown handles it better because I think Triple H puts more effort into that stuff.
And also 2 hours.
It's also 2 hours. It's more Bloodline focused than Raw often is as well.
Yeah.
But I thought overall, all of this Bloodline stuff I thought was great.
I thought it was phenomenal.
And considering, like, you know, I was... My wife said to me this morning, because I watched like half the show before I had to take the kid to go see the GP, that she said to me, I was like, how's Raw? And I said, yeah, it's fine. Like, it's okay. And I was like, we were saying in the office yesterday, I keep forgetting that it's WrestleMania next weekend,
because
it doesn't feel like it's WrestleMania. At this point in time, or at least yesterday when we were having this chat, me, you, Tempest, and Sat were just sat around, we were just chatting downstairs, and we were like, it doesn't feel like WrestleMania season. I keep forgetting that WrestleMania is next Saturday.
Yeah.
This segment, this finale segment here, and sort of this episode overall, as I put on the thumbnail title, is Mania Hype.
Oh, yeah.
This was hype, and this got me legit. I was like, oh, cool, yeah, Mania is next Saturday. And that's what I'm really excited for, is Mania next Saturday.
It's something that I mentioned in my edited review as well. Like, if I wasn't already sold on WrestleMania, this sold me on WrestleMania.
This bought a ticket.
And I genuinely, after this, I think it's kind of a case of, like, you know, rising tide raises all ships and everything. Because I was like, oh, this is wicked. Cannot wait for WrestleMania. I then went and looked up the WrestleMania card and I was like, this WrestleMania card is so good. It is absolutely stacked. This could be an incredible show across 2 nights. I think it's going to be phenomenal.
It's the Triple H method. You do borderline okay TV for weeks on end, then you have a banging pay-per-view, and then no one brings up the fact that the pay-per-view builder going into it wasn't all that great.
Except this was great.
You know, which in fairness was what Vince did as well.
Except he didn't also have good pay-per-views.
Well, there was a period of time when they had every pay-per-view was actually really, really good because the wrestlers just went out there and had really good wrestling matches, often with crummy finishes, but really, really good wrestling. And at the end of it, people are like, oh, the wrestling on the show was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get TV's like, oh, God, this TV stinks. Oh, that TV stinks. But then you get the pay-per-view's like, ah, that pay-per-view was really good, actually, in the end.
I think it's the exact same method, except everything is just up a little bit. So the TV's gone from usually bad to usually okay. And the pay-per-views have gone from good to really good.
Yeah.
So everything has just gone up a step for TV and for pay-per-view.
It's one of Triple H's great strengths. Is that he's very good at pulling the wool over people's eyes to make him look like he's this booking genius, when in reality, the best storyline that's going here is one that he is not involved in, which is the Bloodline, which, as was with Vince, is done by Heyman and Reigns,
mm-hmm.
with Triple H there as well.
Yeah.
But everything else on this show, I think, is broadly fine.
I disagree. And I'll get into why shortly.
We will get into that in a little bit.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's get into your C-Chats to kick off this show. If you want to get involved, head on over to wrestle.com/support. And we will read out all of your comments above the $5 level. Hector Rodriguez, who's been a member for 14 months in a row, says, hope you all have a great day. Is the foundations of the bloodline starting to crumble?
Oh, they were starting to crumble a while ago.
100%. Oh yeah. They've been crumbling more or less since War Games. Yeah. Actually, well, War Games, they had a real good, because they were on the same page when Sami Zayn kind of helped them win.
And pretty much immediately
afterwards. as soon as December hit, watch off there. Down. It's like a slippery slope down there.
Yeah.
Charles Berg has been a member for 22 months in a row, says, adrenaline in my soul, scared my dog with loud pyro.
Again, it's just like the syllables don't quite float. Scared my dog with loud pyro. Loud pyro is weird. There's a weird conjecture there.
Yeah, but still, never give up, Charles. That was a long time ago. On the subject of his dog.
Mm. Oh, man.
That t-shirt.
It's not good.
That t-shirt is hideous.
It's not great, is it?
But that's the strength of how good this promo segment was. It made me forget about how horrible that t-shirt was.
Well, the good thing is he doesn't wear it because he just wears a suit, so you don't see it. Because if he cut that promo in that t-shirt, you'd have been like, oh, I'm too distracted.
No, I can't. I don't want him to win.
Yeah.
Because I was all for Cody winning until I saw that t-shirt. I was like, nope.
Never mind.
Keep the belt on Roman. That t-shirt is horrendous.
It's pretty bad.
And then Cody cut the promo again. I'm like, no, yeah, do put the belt on.
Yeah, Cody works.
I never want to see that t-shirt.
Yeah.
I think that might go into my top 10 worst t-shirts of all time.
It's pretty bad.
That is worse than the Sin Cara one with the penis on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's worse than the AJ one that looks like cum.
Yeah.
It's worse than Val Venus's, which was literal cum.
Yeah.
I think it's worse than vaginas. For China's, I think it's worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as good as always padding ass, obviously, as you know, classic t-shirt designs.
Yeah, yeah.
But top 10 worst t-shirt designs ever. And I know what it is. It's a parody of an old WrestleMania poster, but it's gross.
Yeah.
And my favorite comment about it was someone like, the great wrestling t-shirt designs are the ones that don't look like wrestling t-shirt designs. That, like, you want... Bullet Club's great.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like a wrestling t-shirt design. But if you see someone spotting, you're like, oh, it's a secret code.
Bullet Club. Bullet Club. I know that.
I know what that is.
Yeah.
This literally tells you I'm a wrestling fan. Mick Thomas here says, my prediction, Jimmy will be the first to pull the trigger and Roman's treatment of Jimmy past the point will lead to Jay snapping on Roman. SummerSlam main event sorted. Solo stays as Roman's understudy, but he eventually turns too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I'm really in two minds about the Bloodline stuff, because part of me just wants everything to end at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I would say.
Or like Raw after Mania, whatever. This sort of like, this week period. I kind of want all of it to just fold. Like, Usos go away, Solo goes away, Roman has a meltdown and snaps and kills Paul Heyman, and then that's it. End of the Bloodline. Done. Part of me wants this really slow meltdown of Roman that goes until SummerSlam kind of thing. Like, he's around until SummerSlam, and it ends with Roman versus Jay or Roman versus Solo, and that's it from then on.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I want more.
I think Roman taking the time off. Mm. Like, because the other thing as well, like, it does have to finish at Mania. A, that's kind of part of the tagline of this, is finish the story. You know, it's not just the Rhodes legacy to go and win the WWE title. It's also finish the story of the Bloodline. Mm. Kevin and Sammy's whole purpose at WrestleMania is to end the Bloodline.
Yeah.
If the Bloodline don't end at WrestleMania, then all they've won is some tag belts.
Yeah.
And have not actually, like, they've come together as brothers to finish the Bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be a faction that is finished on the Raw after Mania.
Yeah. But finished can be different. Like, if the Usos leave but Solo stays, the Bloodline is still finished, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a degree of, like, if Jay leaves, is the Bloodline, does the Bloodline still exist? Just without Jay?
Just without Jay.
You know, I don't know.
I'd like to see Solo go his separate ways from them.
Mm.
I really would. I'm Just Marcus said, everything the Bloodline touches is gold all night. That line from Cody was killer. Can't wait for Mania and the day after. I think the Usos are going to turn on Roman after Mania when he berates them and they finally super kick him.
That'd be a fun one.
And actually, yeah, I mean, I said, you know, if I was a betting man, it'd be Roman turns on Jay. But if the Usos turn on Roman, that's what writes Roman off TV.
Yeah, totally. Could be.
Power Packers 90 has been a member for 19 months in a row, says Pete, then saying 45 minutes of the Bloodline out of 7 hours of TV a week is terrible. Roman's going over again. This promo had Sting trips vibes.
Wait.
I disagree with that. Hums it.
Pete?
I think what Power Packers' point is that this was 45 minutes of a 3 hour show.
Right.
But I think the point that they're making is that, you know, 45 minutes out of 7 hours of TV a week being good doesn't make up for the rest of it being bad. But I don't think the rest of it is bad.
Error number one, you're including NXT. Come on now. And two, I think the stuff that was around the Bloodline was actually good on this show. It wasn't just like, whatever, story away, doesn't matter. Like, I think a lot of this actually had a purpose.
Yeah.
So it was good. I don't think that's necessarily fair.
Yeah, and I don't agree with the Sting trips vibes. Don't agree with that whatsoever. Although, having said that, in fairness to Power Packers 90, I remember nothing of the Sting trips.
Oh, before. Couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell you a single segment they had together.
No, not at all.
All I can tell you is that the Mania match was quite rubbish.
All I can remember is Survivor Series, when Sting debuted.
And then when he's hitting the top of the statue.
And then, yep, statue. And that's it.
Yeah.
And then Mania.
But no, the statue was...
Well, that was Seth.
That was the Seth feud.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the trips you also remember is rubbish Triple H entrance, arguably. Ooh, is it the worst Triple
H? It's up there.
I think it's the worst Triple H entrance in
Mania. Is that the Terminator one?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, it's bad.
It's awful.
It's real bad.
It's real terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a match that is not great anyway. Mm-hmm. Actually, the in-ring work together is pretty solid. I actually really liked it, but it's... an overbooked schmoz where the NWO helps Sting.
You know,
And it just screams, just get over it, will you? And it's ruined by commentary.
I'll also say, if you take out all context and all logic, and if you don't think about it for more than 3 seconds, you go like, it's got all taken a bump. Wild. That's cool.
And Triple H won.
Yeah, he did.
Because, silly. Of course he had to.
Yeah, of course.
Because for some reason along the way, someone decided, I think this was probably Triple H, this has to be WWE versus WCW. And in that case, it's like, well, then you have to win.
Obviously.
Because
that's what happened in real life.
Because the WCW guy can't win.
Yeah.
That'd be insanity.
That would be insinuating that WCW is better. And they can't be.
Awful.
Anyway.
But it'll never be on Worst Match Ever.
No.
It'll never be on our Worst Match Ever.
It's not the Worst Match Ever. It's not even close.
This episode of Raw kicked off with best friends, KO and Sami Zayn, and a super hot crowd.
Mm.
And they basically were talking about how, even when we're on opposite sides of the rings, We are always together. We're always linked. Whether we are fighting with each other, whether we're fighting against each other, we will always be brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And these brothers are going to take the bloodline down together.
I love so much how the word brother has been used throughout this whole like bloodline saga. Like in the trial of Sami Zayn, when Jay says, I love him like a brother, mm-hmm. bearing in mind that Solo and Jimmy are right there. The fact that when they turned on Sami Zayn at Royal Rumble and Jimmy was attacking Sami, he's like, Jay, this is your brother. No, I'm your brother. You know, actual brothers. And now Kevin and Sami are calling each other brothers when they're facing actual brothers. I love the little details, man.
And the Usos came out with Jay being like, look, you're going to turn on each other. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's what you always do.
You're backstabbers.
That is what your path has always been, is the mm-hmm. pair of you will turn on each other.
Which is true.
And KO challenges them. Well, actually, Sami says, you're just jealous because you want to turn on Roman, but you can't.
Exactly. Which is also true.
KO challenged the Usos for a match at Mania. Brothers versus brothers is what KO challenged them to. These brothers mm-hmm. taking on new brothers.
Brother. It's like a Hulk Hogan promo. They're really just getting over the word brother.
And Jimmy declines.
And said no.
Doesn't want the match.
Why would we do that?
But Jay thinks about it,
mm-hmm.
and Jay thinks this will be a good opportunity to rid WWE of the Sami and KO problem.
Mm-hmm.
So he accepts.
Mm-hmm.
They brawl, and backstage, Roman Reigns arrives.
I really like the framing of the brawl happened, and the Usos were going to carry on. They grabbed chairs, they're about to continue brawling. Then the Tron started playing, and Roman arrived, and they were like, all right, let's go. Mm-hmm. That's fine. We'll back off this time. Like that framing. And also, maybe this is just me. It definitely is just me. But from how deeply I've dived into the Bloodline story, when they started brawling, I was like, I feel so bad for Jay. The man is in a lot of pain. Man has had his heart broken by Sami Zayn and has chosen the side of the person that he knows has abused him and his brother. He's in so much pain and he is just lashing out. Sami, that person that's broken his heart, it's just in the wrong direction. It just needs to be directed at Roman. And he's just, I don't know, it was just something about when they just started feuding. I was like, man, like, I feel for Jay. Man's in a lot of pain.
And this was a point that was reiterated a lot over the weekend. Should be the main event. It should main event night one.
Okay, here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't main event night one, do you think it should go on night two? So in one night, the bloodline is done. It's like the opening match of night two.
I think you need a hot match on night one. You need the two hottest matches you have currently. Usos and Sami Zayn. What's the mm-hmm. bloodline stuff basically? It's Usos and versus Sami and KO, Roman Cody.
Mm-hmm.
If I was like plotting out Mania and I was looking at it, I was like, I'd need to separate these out onto night one and night two. Also, like the Usos losing the belt can then be a through line story that can play throughout night two
mm-hmm.
to lead into your main event.
It still could with the opening match of night two.
You can absolutely. But then I'm looking at night one, I'm like, well, what on night one have I got that's hot? And there isn't anything that's on night one that's particularly hot outside of this bloodline stuff. Like the main event's going to be Rhea and Charlotte, which yeah. I think is ice cold.
It is. But the thing is that's the problem with this Mania build is it feels like a lot of the Mania builds have been a bit cack in that there's not much build for a lot of matches. However, the actual matches are probably going to be bloody fantastic.
Well, yeah, again, that's the Triple H method.
Yeah, I know, like, of course it is. Yeah. So that's why I don't think it's too bad. If you have the main event of WrestleMania be Rhea and Charlotte, that's fine because the match is going to be awesome.
Match is going to be very, very good.
And you can have like Theory and Cena open night one, like that's fun, you know.
Cena Theory on night one, I think you could totally get away
with that. You could also open up with the women's six woman tag, like the Legends opening up night one is totally feasible.
I think I would make the argument again, kind of looking at talking about matches that I think, you know, if we're taking out zero, you know, the fact that he's got zero good build, or
which none of them do, ice cold heat
in this and the other,
yeah.
I still pick Bianca versus Asuka over Flair and Rhea.
Because that's a good option.
I think Asuka and Bella are going to have probably like second best match of the weekend. I mean, Rollins and Logan Paul, I think, are probably going to have like the most standout match of the night.
Yeah.
Because they're going to do all of the big, massive oop-de-doo high spot stuff.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to have the match of the night, mm-hmm. right? Like big Bucky O'Hare is. I think Asuka and Belair are going to have the best wrestling match of the weekend.
You think you're going to put that over Sami and KO versus the Usos?
But that's a drama match. Like, the in-ring work will be very, very good, but that is also, like, I'm just talking about just pure in-ring wrestling.
Are you going to put that above Gunther versus Sheamus versus McIntyre?
I mean, that is going to be chop heavy. It's going to be chop and boot heavy.
These are all drastically different styles of wrestling. Yeah. And really, I think if they all go out and put on the level of match that they're all capable of, if nothing goes wrong in any of these matches and they're booked to shine kind of thing, then I think it's going to fall down to what your preference of wrestling
is,
what one you like the most.
But that's the best thing about wrestling.
That's fantastic. That's incredible.
That's what wrestling should be. It's why AEW cards often feel so much better than a lot of other mainstream wrestling, at least particularly during the Vince era when they were sort of competing against you, because, well, AEW felt like a smorgasbord. It was a buffet.
It was a variety.
It was a variety show, whereas like WWE was like, no, these are all the same matches.
Yeah.
But it's still, if I was playing this out, KO and Sami are main eventing.
That's fair.
I think it's the hottest thing. And I think it should be the main event.
I'd have it as main event of night one as well. But I don't think I'd be upset if it doesn't.
I don't think I'd be upset. I would just be like, I don't know. Because I think that Rhea and Charlotte are going to go out there being to an ice cold reaction, and they're going to have to work extra hard to get the crowd into it.
Which I think they can.
Austin Theory took on Montez Ford. I'm pretty sure this was done on purpose, but they literally cut to someone not caring.
Yeah.
During Austin Theory's entrance.
Yeah.
They cut to someone looking bored.
Yeah.
That has to be intentional.
You'd think so.
Because the whole purpose of this is that, well, John Cena's promo was, literally no one cares about you, and WWE have to pipe in crowd noise to make it sound like people care about you.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be a choice.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Not one I'd make, but I think it has to be an active decision to be done.
I like this match.
Yeah, good match. Good. Yeah, good match.
This was nice. I like Montez Ford getting more showcases.
Yeah.
And I think they're still lining up. I think Theory won clean, which he should. Mm-hmm. Get some momentum ahead of WrestleMania. Montez Ford having more singles matches, all for that. I also had a note in this match. I had a realization. Montez Ford is both a fantastic wrestler and a fantastic sports entertainer. He's both.
Yeah, it's a good point.
He's really good.
Future WWE champion Montez Ford.
Absolutely.
We had the Roman Reigns, Austin Theory one. We had the Roman Reigns.
I'd also just like to point out that Austin Theory had a quick post-match promo. He's like, I'm going to win. Note that for later.
Yeah, I hope we don't have that the next two matches we have. We had all the Roman Reigns stuff, and they announced there's going to be a tag team showcase match between Street Profits, Braun and Ricochet, Alpha Academy, and the Viking Raiders.
That's also a match where I'm like, damn, that could be really fun.
Be really fun. I mean, it doesn't mean dick, but it's going to be fun nonetheless.
But I think it will mean dick, though. Because not only do you have the Street Profits in it, and there might be some from Montez Ford and singles and whatever, it's also Chad Gable and Otis, and it could be Otis siding with Maximum Models and Chad Gable doing the start of his singles thing. I think it's going to be an important match. It might not be on the night. You might not notice, like, oh, this is obviously the storyline direction we're going, but I think it's going to be significant when you look back at it.
I think this is a WrestleMania Battle Royal by a different name.
Yep, but it should be fun, though, whereas the Battle Royals never are.
Chelsea Green approached Adam Pearce as he was about to put over the showcase match, and talked about, even though she got Carmella matching ring gear for their tag team match, Carmella was not there. So she's brought in her replacement, Piper Niven.
Sure. I don't know why Carmella was... Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. There probably was something. I'll have a quick scoot around, see if we can find anything online.
Regardless, I hope she's all right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did laugh at this, though, when Chelsea Green said, so I want to have Piper Niven as my tag partner. Mm-hmm. So I need to get you to ask whoever is in charge to make this match official. That feels like, I don't know how many more times I need to tell you, but it's me. I'm the person in charge and I make the matches official.
Yeah. Chelsea Green's really good at this character.
I really
get a kick out of it.
I like her Karen character.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, poor Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
Poor Mustafa Ali.
It's fine.
Mustafa Ali had to be the person to try and get Amos over, and not even Mustafa Ali can do that.
He tried, but it's weather.
This they were going hard on this match. They had this.
It's all about the numbers.
It's all about the numbers.
In this video package, the thing I liked the most was like, Omos's hands are really big.
Yeah, his hands are massive.
His hands are real big,
he's
guys.
He's well tall, taller than some NBA players.
Crazy.
And he's got massive hands.
His hands.
Brock Lesnar's hands, the biggest in UFC history.
The gloves.
Had to get
XXXL.
Had to get bigger gloves, didn't he?
And Omos, his hands are like double the size of a normal human. They got big hands.
It was very, very silly.
It was very silly.
But I got a kick out of it because it's dumb. But they were going hard on this.
They really were.
Because they had this video package. A Moss makes his entrance and Kevin Patrick says, if you're not excited about this WrestleMania match, I don't know what is wrong with you. It was a direct call out to everyone watching this show.
Amos squashed Mustafa Ali and MVP does the exact same promo that Theory did earlier. Yeah. And when I mean the exact same promo, I mean like it is almost identical. You just change out a couple words. It is the same promo. It was like Omos was like, you know, Omos fears no man, giant or beast, but he'll make the beast fear him. And Theory's one was like, something like, you know, you can't see John Cena, but I'll make sure I see him. It was not that. It was better. Yeah. But it was like the same thing.
Ali didn't get an entrance. Corey Graves made fun of him for doing a cover of Hoobastanky in 2023. I thought Mustafa Ali's video was very funny. Mm. So F you, Corey. I thought it was great. Here's my one note I would have for this.
Yeah.
Here is my point I would like to make.
Yeah.
Corey Graves and Kevin Patrick's podcast told us, Marks, this match isn't for you.
Mm.
Complaining on the old Twitter machine. This match isn't for you. It's not for you sitting at home watching this.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the casual audience.
Because mm-hmm.
the casual audience is going to tune in and they're going to see Big Giant Amos and Big Giant Brock Lesnar with their massive hands.
Massive hands.
Throwing said hands massively.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If that's the case, then why does no one react for Amos's matches? Because if you're trying to say then the people that attend Raw shows are casual fans,
mm-hmm.
they're not reacting to this.
Yeah.
So who is it for then? Because it's not for the hardcores. You've told us that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to this casual audience not react to Amos.
Mm-hmm.
So who's it for?
Vince.
Correct. Impulsive with... Well, I thought this was supposed to be with The Miz. I'm pretty sure, and people can correct me if I'm wrong on this, I'm pretty sure Miz said last week, Impulsive TV is going to be on next week and I'm the guest. But Miz tried to approach Logan Paul and he didn't want a handshake from him.
And he said, nope, hard pass.
And then Logan Paul went out and did some Your Local Sports Team stuff.
I think that is unfair because I think Logan Paul did actually a very good promo, which also incorporated cheap heat.
He also said the word dork, so, you know, got a pop out of me.
Well, yeah, but he was also saying, like, I don't have to be here. I've made so much money off my brand. I don't have to be here. I want to be here. But it doesn't matter how many times I prove myself in the ring. None of you are ever going to respect me. And I'm like, that is true, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
yeah,
absolutely yeah. true.
The thing that surprised me the most is that Logan Paul is only 28.
I know.
I would have put money on him being nearly 40.
What?
I looked at him and I was like, he's about the same age as me.
That is insane, Luke Owen.
I was like, he must be around the same age as me. And it's funny, I was like, huh, well, blow me down.
I thought he was a little bit older. I thought he was like early 30s, but nearly 40?
Yeah.
What do you want about?
He's got that vibe about him. But then actually, no, the fact that he's only 28 does make a lot of sense because yeah. he is a tool.
He is, yeah.
I'm being facetious, of course. Seth then starts messing around with his mic backstage.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed this. They cut backstage and Seth's in the production truck, like messing with the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, oh, I can do another button. I've got to press it. Press the button. And his music plays, Seth's mm-hmm. music plays. He makes his entrance. And in that, he also turned Logan Paul's mic back on because Logan Paul's mic was working again. And they... what have I got here? Oh, it's because he was playing a clip of him knocking out. Yeah.
And he replayed a clip of him knocking out.
That's why I thought the segment went long, because there was loads of stuff.
Which... He was being super obnoxious.
Yeah.
But this time, I thought it was the good line of obnoxious. In that it was like, oh, you're such a dick. Rather than, oh my God, can we get to the point?
And then they got into a brawl. Seth did a dive on some extras. They basically missed him. And then Paul knocked Seth out with the one lucky punch.
Great.
I thought it was totally fine.
I thought this was a really solid segment. Like, I liked it. I thought Logan Paul's promo was actually really good. Because promos have not been his strong suit since he's come back.
Well, now he gets to be a heel.
Yeah. But even so, I still think some of them have been delivered a bit weird. But I thought this one was really good. I will say that when it cut back to Seth backstage in production, I was like, he does just look like a heel. I'm sorry. He just does. He's just got that aura. And that when he was like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I mess up your mic? I'm like, you're such a heel. You're such a heel.
I thought he came across mostly as the babyface here.
Well, I mean, after he came out and they brought
him. I even think in that backstage team, in the production truck. I mean, I know he looks like a twat, but like...
He sounded like one too.
Can't say that word. AEW will find me. Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest walk backstage, and then Dominic Mysterio had a match with Johnny Gargano.
I think this is where we're going to disagree the most.
Well, here's... Okay. I know everyone was surprised that Dominic Mysterio won, but Dominic's got the big WrestleMania match. Johnny Gargano hasn't.
Why is everyone surprised?
Well, that's all the reaction I've seen to this. But like,
why?
Of course Dominic Mysterio is going to win this. Dominic Mysterio has a high-profile match at WrestleMania. Johnny Gargano is mid-card filler.
He's got a match at Stand and Deliver.
Yeah. He's got nothing at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Of course Dominic Mysterio is going to win.
Yeah.
Here.
But the way they got him to win, I think was really good. Because, okay, here's why I like what they're doing with Dom. And this was something that I think me and you were sort of alluding to on last week's episode, but we didn't really phrase it properly. In that when he first joined the Judgment Day, he was pretty much a joke. He was carried in every match by Damian Priest, never got anything done, and they constantly had to bail him out of every situation because he was a numpty. Over time, Dominic Mysterio has been getting better. In kayfabe terms, whether he actually has in ring or not, I don't know, whatever. But taking that aside, in kayfabe terms, he's been doing more wrestling. Occasionally, he will actually do something good. You know, he can take control of matches and he can do a wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
They are now continuing that. Every week, Dominic Mysterio is getting a little bit better and a little bit better, and more of his ability is coming through. To the point where now, against an injured Johnny Gargano, not a full-form Johnny Gargano, an injured Johnny Gargano, he can hang. He wins clean against an injured Johnny Gargano.
Clean as a sheet.
That is progression for Dominic Mysterio in terms of his kayfabe in-ring ability. That is good. That is the point of Dominic Mysterio joining the Judgment Day. Just because he was a complete joke when he joined doesn't mean he always has to be. This is the point of him joining the Judgment Day, is to build him up, which is what they've done.
Yeah.
It made sense. It tied into continuity with NXT because Grayson Waller attacked Johnny Gargano, which is why he had his ribs taped up. The finish was a frog splash to Johnny's ribs. This was really good. This was really well booked.
Yeah, I thought this was good. I thought this was one of the better things on the show.
God, we are not going to disagree about this segment.
No.
I thought we would.
No, I thought, this was a segment that made complete sense.
This worked. This was really good.
This totally adds up.
Yeah.
I get that people are upset that Johnny Gargano lost clean, but again, Dominic Mysterio's got the big match of Mania and Johnny Gargano hasn't.
I will also say, as someone who's a massive Johnny Gargano mark, it was like 2018. You know, like, I know Johnny Gargano is great. I really want to see main event Johnny Gargano as well. But right now he isn't.
No.
Has not been presented as such. And you can't just do that.
Johnny Gargano is another... He is one of the most high profiles Triple H brought back for a one-night pop.
Yeah.
And with no...
Right now,
And with no actual plans in place. Him, Dexter, Cross, even Braun to a degree. Like, I know Braun's doing stuff, but not really. There are just a hit row. There's just like a bunch of guys that he brought back to just be like, yeah, we got a one night pop out of you, but I've actually got nothing for you for WrestleMania. So you are just there to lose to the people who do have stuff for WrestleMania plans.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Dominic Mysterio and Johnny Gargano was here to do.
That's fine because it also protected Gargano to a degree as well because he was injured.
Yeah, didn't mind
it.
But the thing I really liked about this, I mentioned this on my edited review last week, which is, how is Dominic going to get Ray to accept this match?
Mm-hmm.
Because Ray has said no. He's not going to fight his son.
Yeah.
Even though Dominic is doing all of this dastardly heel stuff to him. And I again stress, I didn't like the comedy they did last week. I've much preferred the stuff where him and Rhea have gate crashed like their Christmas or gate crashed Valentine's Day. And I think that's actually much more entertaining. This I thought was so great though, because he's asked his dad for a match and his dad said no. So now he's going to ask his mum to get his dad to accept a match.
Mm-hmm.
That's good comedy.
Which I assume will be threatening his mum, probably.
Well, there's a Mysterio segment on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
All the family are going to be there on SmackDown.
Great.
Then we had Heyman telling the Bloodline to go to the private jet, apart from Solo.
Just see what's next. There's the Edge promo
here. So.
Oh, gosh.
This is the other thing where you thought we might disagree on.
Yeah.
Because you thought this promo was very, very silly.
I thought it was so dumb.
I thought this promo was also dumb and very silly, but I enjoyed it for its campness. This promo was like from an FMV game for the Mega CD. what this promo was. It's like you load up the mega CD and this is the big, like, oh, it's a big FMV. It's the baddie telling you, or like, you know, the guy, this is what our mission is to do today. And then you go into a really crap helicopter game. That is what this was. And it was really funny and it was really stupid. And he basically said, I want the demon to come to WrestleMania.
This was, it looked like shit. It looked really bad.
A floating candle.
It just had three floating candles that were not like symmetrical. They were just randomly placed. And Edge was just a floating head.
He had no body. The way they lit it, all you can see is neck. It was just a floating
his head.
Like Holly from Red Dwarf.
And it looked really dumb. I also, side point, can't take Spooky Edge seriously anymore. Because he's flip-flopped so many times being like, oh, I'm really spooky, I'm Gangrel, I can do a blood bath, oh, I'm spooky. And then next week he's like, I'm a dude.
Hello, I am Edge.
Hello, I am Edge, this is my wife. I'm here, I retired, and I came back, and now I'm here to please the fans. And then he's like, oh, spooky, I'm the devil.
I'm the devil, I was baptized by the Undertaker inside Hell in a Cell. And I want you to bring your demon to the Hell in a Cell, so I can take him out with the devil himself.
This is really dumb. I didn't like it.
The thing that made me laugh the most is that Edge thought this was so cool. Like, Edge finished up there, watched that, and was like, I look so awesome.
Banging.
I look so, so cool in this. And every time, I'm almost paused now. I wanted to look at Tempest and be like, Christian's better.
Yeah, this pro wasn't
it
great.
It was well, rubbish.
Did not like it.
But I loved it.
Hey, Demon of Mania, though. Eleanor, so that's fun. So, you know.
So I'm calling him Goth Zordon.
Yeah, genuinely. I got it in my notes. Edge Pro is just a floating head. He looks so silly. It's Zordon. Yeah, that's Zordon. My notes.
So good. Yeah, proper Mega CD vibes from me. Or Sega CD from my American viewers.
Wonderful.
I didn't like what came next.
Yeah, this was weird, wasn't it?
So, I guess Rhea Ripley's a babyface now.
No. No.
Dude.
No.
Dude.
Don't be silly.
With this promo and the match, she is 100% a babyface.
No babyfaces and heels in WWE anymore, Luke. It's all with short shades of grey.
Like, I think we talked about this with Alpha Academy last week. You know, the flip-flopping of just with their babyface, one with their heels. Someone's like, oh, no, that's what a tweener is. No, it isn't. Categorically, is not what a tweener is.
Yep.
But yeah, now she came out and cut a babyface promo against a heel Charlotte Flair, where the storyline has very much been babyface Charlotte Flair versus the heel Rhea Ripley.
Why was it a babyface promo?
She is talking about the fact that she is not getting... Flair has got no respect for her. Mm-hmm. Like, Flair, like, looked past her in the match they had at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of focusing on this path, but she's not actually really looking towards this future. And then she essentially had a 3-on-1 handicap match against Bayley coming up.
She was definitely wrestling as the babyface against Bayley.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I don't think the promo was babyface at all. It was just Rhea Ripley being Rhea Ripley.
I got massive babyface vibes from this.
I didn't at all.
And apart from when she shut down the watch chance because she was telling people to shut up.
Yeah.
But then,
she's a heel.
Particularly when, like, Damage Control came out, and then she challenged them to fight, even though she's not in her gear.
Yeah, because she's Rhea Ripley and she's a badass.
Well, I get that, but just the promo she had against Flair made her feel like she is the babyface. It made Flair feel like the actual heel in this match. Maybe that's just because Flair should always feel like the heel.
I mean, yeah, it's Charlotte Flair,
and I guess Charlotte Flair never feels like a babyface
ever.
So I don't know, but like I think coupled with the promo and then the match. Mm-hmm. Combined together, it just made it feel like this was a presentation to make Rhea Ripley feel like the babyface of Feud. Because my question then would be, Pete, if this promo was to make Rhea Ripley feel like a heel, why was she booked like a babyface in the match?
It's not about making her a heel. It's about making her feel important. And I think this actually gave her, like, momentum for WrestleMania.
Which she needs.
Which she absolutely needs. And that's what this was designed to do. Yeah. It made everyone go like, oh, damn, she's a badass. What it was.
I did think you got that from the SmackDown segment as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought the SmackDown segment again was better.
Yeah. Because awesome I don't think... I will give WWE some amount of credit for this. I think there is an element of truth when they're saying like, well, it's not all about baby faces and heels and it's not as clear cut and everything. Yes, to a degree. You still have people that are baby faces and heels, but it is a bit more fluid in that Rhea Ripley can have a match against Bayley and wrestle as the baby face. And she can say things that are true.
Mm.
That doesn't make her a baby face though. That just makes her a badass, which is fine. And if you want to cheer her, cool.
I completely agree with you on that sense. But then they structure matches where she is the babyface.
Yeah. She's badass.
So, but no, they structure her like she's the babyface in peril while the heel is working over her.
Yes.
That is counterintuitive to presenting her as a badass. So in this match, damage control come out and Rhea Ripley challenged them to step into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Bayley's like, well, I'm the only one in my gear, so I guess it'll be me.
Yeah.
Thank God Bayley came out in her gear, I guess.
Even though Rhea was not in her gear, which also made her look like a badass.
Adam Pearce backstage sent down a ref to make this match official.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, she dominated early doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then Becky Lynch, Trish, and Lita came out to watch from ringside. And there's that awful bit of WWE where they're like, what does this mean? It means nothing. Because it cuts to a commercial break.
Ad break.
Because it cuts to commercial break, and when it cuts back, Bayley's in control,
mm-hmm.
headlocks, you know, rest holds and things like that. Which means the structure of the match was Rhea Ripley dominates, Bayley took over, and then heel shenanigans, and then Rhea Ripley overcomes the odds and wins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a babyface trajectory.
Yeah. She wrestled the babyface of the match.
She wrestled the babyface of the match.
Yeah.
So, but that is not badass booking. That is booking her as a babyface in a match.
Sure, but she had to overcome the odds and looked very cool doing it.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that it is counterintuitive to the promo. If the promo was to, I don't think any of this particularly worked outside of really cool.
I think,
but maybe that's the point.
I think this segment worked for one thing, which was making Rhea look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think that,
which is needed.
I think damage control. Becky, Trish, and Lita got absolutely nothing in this segment.
Actually, really
absolutely nothing.
Hurt the storyline massively.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought this was really bad for all of them. Made Rhea look great.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be having Rhea Ripley. I've actually written down Rhea Ripley for a shell of flame on my nose. I don't think I'd have had Rhea Ripley beat Bayley.
It did feel pretty random.
Yeah.
Pretty weird.
I was kind of like, happen. You've literally got a Dakota Kai right there to do this with. Or an Sky. Like, they're the seconds.
I do think it made Rhea stronger because she beat Bayley. If she beat Dakota Kai, everyone would have gone like, all right. But the fact that she beat Bayley at least is like, oh, okay, cool.
I think I'd have probably booked her against Dakota Kai or Io Sky. Like, it's not great either way, but if you want to have it beat an established name, better than beating those ones. You all right?
So I just glanced at the chat. Luke put the spade down. What is Luke cooking?
Fair enough. Honestly, that's fine. Like, if I'm out of step, that's grand. It's just like this segment was not for me. Yeah. I don't think the segment worked. However, I will say, because I said this on the edited review last week, they needed something for Rhea Ripley.
Oh yeah,
like Rhea Ripley sure standing on the outside last week was great at all. At least this did actually put her in a position where she cut a promo and won a match.
She did a promo. She wrestled a match, not in her gear because she wasn't ready, and won.
Yeah.
She looks so cool. Literally everything that Rhea does. I'm like, God, she's so cool.
Yeah, she's cool.
Her body language is amazing.
And she's going to win the belt. And that'll be grand.
Love it.
Chad Gable's walking backstage to find Otis and found him getting a manicure because he's going to be a hand model with Maxine and the Maximum Male Models.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Gable's got himself a match with Ricochet. And he's like, look, Ricochet's going to be out there with Braun Strowman. So I need my number one guy with me.
Yeah.
Maxine walks in and Otis is presented with a choice. Do I go with Maxine, like I did last week, or do I go with Master Gable this week?
Mm.
This week he chose Master Gable.
I love that they literally called him like a dog. They were literally like, come on, this way, come on,
this way. Andy Kaufman is going into the Hall of Fame, and then we got Chad Gable versus Ricochet. You'll never guess what, lads, this one was dead good.
Oh, man, you know, this actually got a This Is Awesome chant. And I did not expect it to, because I expect it to go for about 3 minutes before it ended in distraction. And it did still end in distraction.
Sure did.
But at least they got a good match first. Also, just push both of them.
Yes.
They're so good.
Yeah, I mean, this was a match that was like well above, like, these should be just lower mid-card fodder.
Yeah.
Because this match was dead good.
Oh, so good.
I love this. Although I did find Corey Graves, bless his heart, was put in a real tough position.
Yeah.
Because Alpha Academy are heels sometimes.
Yeah.
They're sort of the baby faces now.
Yeah.
But Corey Graves still supports them and has the heel commentator that makes them feel like heels.
Yeah.
But Maximo Models are also heels.
Yeah.
So he has to present both of the arguments as correct.
Yeah.
But he can't pick one side or the other.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, it shouldn't really be with Master Gable because Master Gable is like, he's the number one guy. But also he should also be with Maximum Male Models. Because I think because Maxine's really fit, so he should probably stay with them.
It's like it's some sort of tough choice or something.
No, wait, I've contradicted myself because I think he should stay with Alfred. Anyway, lad was put in a tough position. But also, this match was rad.
Also, Otis ate the cucumber that was on his eyes and that made me laugh.
He is great.
That's great.
But yes, Maxine did come out. and Brewer's got to take Otis backstage. Mm-hmm. Distracted Chad Gable so that Ricochet could hit him with the shooting star press for the win.
Very nice.
Great match.
This next one sucked ass.
Yeah, this wasn't great.
This wasn't great. This wasn't this, fun.
Comfortably, this was the worst thing on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This was no good.
Yeah. I also really enjoyed it when the commentary openly pointed out how bad the build to this WrestleMania has been. It's really fun when they do that. It's Bianca Belair and Asuka versus Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. And I love when they were just like, you know, Corey Graves like, well, it never bodes well when people who are fighting at WrestleMania have to team up. I'm like, you are right, Corey.
Yeah.
It is bad.
It was fun to try and watch WWE not use the words how can they coexist and say it in just like different variations.
And Kevin Patrick says, we'll see if they can coexist.
It was like 1 minute warning. Certain words you can say, but every other word has to be different.
Yeah.
Without
and like,
hesitation.
The match was whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. Belair and Asuka, you'll never, like, Asuka, she tagged in immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then Belair blind tagged in and this and the other.
And they argued a little bit.
Yeah. They also talked about how Belair is going for the three-peat at WrestleMania, which means WWE are watching the Monday Night War confirmed.
That's how it works.
Anyway, and then Belair hit the KOD on Piper Niven. Commentary acted like they've never seen that before.
That's what I was going to say. Every time she does it, like, oh my, no way.
No
can
way,
she?
No way.
Can she?
Not possibly.
Oh my God.
She did it for like 4 weeks in a row on
so
TV.
So funny.
And then Asuka attacked Belair after the match. Which just was...
You know what? They fought. It's something. It's not good. At all.
But... for all of the good that Triple H has done for this company,
mm-hmm.
it will always be WWE. Let me tell you how this match began. Bianca Belair made her entrance.
Mm-hmm.
It cut to an ad break. We come back from the ad break,
yep.
and Piper Niven and Chelsea Green are at ringside mm-hmm. having made their entrance.
Yes.
And then Bianca Belair's tag partner, Asuka, makes her entrance.
Yes.
And the ring announcer says... and her tag team partner. If on live, that makes no sense. In the building makes no sense whatsoever.
I love it.
Will always be WWE.
Because they couldn't possibly have done Bianca's entrance, then Asuka's entrance, then an ad break, and then have Chelsea Green and Piper Niven there. Couldn't possibly do
couldn't
that.
Couldn't possibly have done that.
My final note for this segment was, this build is the buttest of butt ass. It's not
the
good.
The match is going to hump, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. It's going to be great.
And they only announced one thing for Raw next week, which is a weigh-in for Omos versus Lesnar. Guys, if you're not interested in this match, I don't know what's wrong with you.
That is the go-home show for Mania. Which, to be fair, I will say, after the show, I came out of it, I was like, I mean, I feel like the build is done. Like, we're fine. It could be Mania this weekend. I'm sold. That's all right. We don't need any more.
Can we get a poll live? What did you think of the show? Pete, you gave this a 5 out of 5.
I did, because the thing is, the Bloodline stuff was so good, and I thought there were only two things on this show that I didn't like, which was the Edge promo and the Bianca Belair and Asuka tag match. And that promo segment was, you know, like a minute, and the tag match was short. Everything else, the thing that I really liked in this show is, to me, it felt like the wrestling mattered. Like, Montez Ford getting a showcase matters because it feels like they have plans for him. In theory, getting clean win matters. Dominic Mysterio holding his own against Johnny Gargano matters. Chad Gable wrestling more and showcasing more matters because they have plans for Chad Gable. Like, it feels like to me the wrestling actually had a point rather than just being like, it's something and then we'll get to the post-match angle.
I think I would disagree
on
some of that. I think I'm wrong on the Rhea Ripley thing. Like I'm pretty sure I'm hugely wrong on that. So that's fine. But like I didn't particularly love the segments.
I will say as well, it did feel a bit weird. After it, I was like, that's great for Ripley. Not sure if I would have booked that.
Yeah.
But you know, that's great for Ripley.
Which, and you know, it didn't really work for me. But I thought the Bloodline stuff was excellent.
Mm.
As always, the Bloodline stuff was muy bueno, very, very good. Mm. I thought the rest of the show was totally fine.
Mm.
And really? It's a 3 out of 5 show. But with that, the Bloodline stuff, I just totally give them this 5 out of 5 because it's dead good and it is how you leave them, folks. And that is how they left them. And I thought that was really, really good. But yeah, the rest of the show was, it's all right.
I liked it.
We'll be right back.
We've got some Patreon shoutouts to do right now. Head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk tomorrow. Ollie Davis and I will be reviewing WrestleMania X8, which opens with a saliva performance. And then after a couple of matches, they have Drowning Pool tell you the story of Triple H versus Stephanie McMahon. I mean, Triple H versus Chris Jericho.
Same thing.
Really, it's just Triple H versus Stephanie McMahon, because of course it is.
Yeah.
Also, Rock Hogan. The Scott Hall stunner cell.
Yeah.
Great stuff on there. Great opening match with RVD and William Regal. Terrific stuff. Last week it was After Dark with me, you, and Tempo.
Yeah.
And you had the mailbag show as well.
Yes, indeed.
And the WrestleTalk behind the scenes. Lots of stuff if you go to patreon.com/WrestleTalk. But also...
And also, brand new-ish / returning to the Patreon page is you get early access to Monday Night War. Because Monday Night War's launched back over on Parts for No. Me and Luke playing My GM mode on WWE 2K23. And on the Patreon page, you get 1 week's early access for all the episodes. So you could go and watch episode 2 right now if you wanted to.
Did you realize a medical bill meant that you didn't get your power card, Pete?
Yes. I realized that me signing medical bill...
Pete, when you signed medical bill, he became your lowest ranked guy. And that's why you didn't get the power card. I don't know if you know this, Pete, but that's what happened. I hope you realize this when we come to episode 2.
I think I may have seen the explanation of that roughly 100 times. It's somewhere in that region, where it be comments, tweets, comments on Patreon, DMs.
Yeah, but Pete, it's because you signed medical bill.
Instagram DMs.
Yeah. If you hadn't signed medical bill, it's then why the commissioner goal fell. You probably should have checked the commissioner goal.
But really, would I have rather had the commissioner goal completed and get that power card, or would I have rather had medical bill? And honestly, it's a tough call. Anyway.
Anywho, if you are one of our Patreon backers at the $25 or above level, you get your name shouted out on the rest of the podcast like these fine folk. The Third Wild Samoan, James Barefoot.
Hannah A, baby!
All Ego, Ethan Wiley.
Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor.
He brings the fear, Amir Jones.
Golden John Molden.
And a shout out to our wonderful moderating team, Andy, Chris, CJ, John, Les, Paul, Rob, and Mod Mother Jenna, because she never puts her name
in. Why don't you put your name in?
Come on, Mod Mother.
You need a shout out, Mod Mother.
And you shouldn't rely on us to remember that.
Yeah, because we won't.
Because Pete signed a medical bill, and that's what cost him his commissioner goal.
Love it.
Got a text from my friend that said, my partner has never played My GM mode or 2K games. And when she saw you do that, I was like, oh, well, that's his commissioner goal gone then.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And if anyone was asking, like, well, why didn't you notice it? It was like, well, Pete said it was wrong. So Pete knows more about this than I do. So I just assumed he was right.
He didn't watch my booking.
No, I just assumed Pete was right.
Yeah.
Blues Flan kicks us off here for the rest of your Uzi chats. Get them in wrestle.com/support. Says, after getting dusted by Reigns in their first talking segment, felt he came out this one stronger. However, the visual of him, Sammy, and KO celebrating together on the Raw after Mania still feels too good to be true. It's WWE. They're going to hose us. No, Blues Flan. In the main event of the Raw after Mania, six-man tag.
Oh, okay.
Cody, KO, and Sammy versus the Bloodline.
I don't know if I'd want that.
No?
No. I think that would be not wasted on Raw after Mania, because it's Raw after Mania, but I think you wouldn't want them to get physical again after that. Like, you have it at Mania, that's the climax of the thing. You don't need to repeat it the day after. Just have the final shot of Mania, Cody, KO, and Sammy.
I think they're going to do something. I mean, the big angle probably will be the split of the Bloodline. But
I'd say
I think they're going to have something real big.
That would be how I would end the Raw after Mania. Bloodline splits up forever.
This is from Jake Lloyd, or Jack Lloyd rather. This show, not the guy from Star Wars, this show was mid with a very good Bloodline segment. Why does the build to all three women's matches suck, especially Bianca and Asuka? Someone who is sick of Brock and never liked Amos, how is the match built so much better than Rhea and Flair?
Whoa. Better?
I'd say it's built better. I would say the build for Brock and Amos has been better than Rhea Charlotte. And better than Asuka Belair.
It has been the most superficial build you could possibly have.
But that is better than doing nothing.
Rhea and Flair have had a superficial build. Asuka and Bianca, I will agree with you, that has nothing.
In fairness, I suppose Charlotte and Rhea did have a brawl.
Yeah, they had something. Yeah. Rhea had a promo on this show.
Although you can tell that WWE will always be WWE. The thing that everyone was memeing from that brawl was Rhea Ripley going,
yeah,
like, at the camera. They didn't include that bit in the video package.
Wild.
Wild. Unknown has been a member for 19 months in a row, says, many are speculating the Roman will retain because he's reaching 1,000 days, but to me, it's like pumping up Cena going for 17 title reigns. Yeah.
Who knows? Like, the thing is, Roman could retain. It's Roman. I think they would. I think they would be incredibly foolish to have Roman retain at this point. This is the perfect opportunity to have Roman lose it.
It's time.
It is time.
It is time. Tyler Willersin says, this is the closest we will ever get to a major AEW versus WWE spectacle. Cody's aura about him is heavily embedded with AEW's past. Doesn't add much to the actual story, but I find it very fascinating as a layer to the whole situation. Go, Cody, go.
Well, it is part of the story, like it was mentioned in the promo on this show. It's very good.
Edgar Carrasco has been a member for 15 months in a row. Says, the way they've spread the Bloodline story across both brands has given it such a build it was lacking. Still can't believe I'll be there live. I'm so hyped.
Sounds awesome.
Jonathan Byron, please speak on your opinion on whether or not Triple H has intentionally cooled off the Sami KO Usos part of the main storyline to make sure Cody can get over at Mania. Like it, don't like it, necessary evil. Also, Pete, how are those medical bills? Thanks, lads. Because you see, Pete, signing medical bill.
Yeah, no, got that.
That's why you didn't get that card.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't agree with Triple H cooling it off. Like, this was always going to be the story progression.
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I also really don't think it's cooled off that much. I still think people are really... Did you hear the pop when they hugged?
Yes. Now, I don't think the crowd are as hot for Sami Zayn as they were in January or February.
In Montreal, yes.
No. I even think on TV, I think even in North America, in January and February, the crowd were hot for Sami Zayn than they are now.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have intentionally cooled him off.
Not at all.
I think that it was always going to happen post Elimination Chamber.
Absolutely.
CJ Thornton, hey boys, I love the Bloodline storyline so much, with Jay being the most tragic character I've seen in WWE for a while. Absolutely love the show, minus, but how will they coexist? Also adored the Drew and Brutes parody, poor Ridge, hashtag jam that jam, hashtag team medical bill.
We're all team medical bill.
BM Whitehouse said, I can't wait for Lesnar and Amos to end up being Pete's favorite match at Mania. Also, as the wrestler in the mid-card, did you feel that has too good of an entrance theme for them to be stuck there? Minus Sonya Deville, she has final boss level music.
If Lesnar and Omos ends up being my favorite match of Mania, something's gone terribly wrong.
It's gone very badly.
Something's gone terribly wrong.
I appreciate your chat and everything like this. And maybe it's just because I am of a certain age. Everyone's entrance music sounds the same. Alpha Academy, Chad Gable, I can tell you, he's got different entrance music to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else has the exact same entrance theme.
That I don't think that's true, but I will say Solo Sikoa is not a mid-carder, but his entrance music's banging. Big fan.
Small Afro Games. I'm the only one brave enough to say this, but I'm unironically excited for Omos versus Lesnar. I am a proud member of the Homo Sapiens, and I'm sick of the homophobes trying to slander my ace. That man is a spectacle and a lovely human being. Do the job, Brock. I think a lot of that sounds like you're ironically excited for it.
Really does sound like it.
Mr. T of 2 has been a member for 2 months in a row, said, I'm not going to lie, I did shed a tear when Owens and Zayn hugged on Friday, and then again when they did it again last night. I'm so invested.
Yeah.
Sadly, Streamlabs has lost this person's name, so do let our moderators know who you are. I thought Logan was actually really good last night. He's far better as a heel. My issue with him, though, is that he'll never be taken seriously until he becomes a regular, which I don't think he ever will be. Yeah.
It's fair.
No, it is fair. Treacherous Tetris Terios says, hi. This is Treacherous Tetris Terios. Rhetoric territory.
Sure.
We'd really like to see the Ray Dom match not being official until the Hall of Fame ceremony. We were talking about this yesterday, where Dom attacks Conan. Now, I'm assuming you mean...
I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to assume you mean Mexican legend wrestler Conan, not Conan, as you've written here, as in Conan O'Brien. Is Conan O'Brien going to be inducting Rey Mysterio into the Hall of Fame?
I wouldn't hate it.
And Ray finally has enough and the outsiders start to get through. That, we were talking about this yesterday in the office. Obviously, I'm just teasing a little bit. We were talking about this in the office yesterday because I think this was something that Brian Alvarez or Dave Meltzer suggested. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Still not doing, but Conan inducts Rey Mysterio. Conan's in poor health as well. So Conan inducting Rey Mysterio, like they have got the link. And other people are like, should be Batista, should be Edge. No. Should be Conan. Conan should be the guy to do this. And Conan is inducting Rey. And just after they do all the, you know, the actual Hall of Fame bits, Dominic and the Judgment Day attack Conan. And that's what pushes him over the edge.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it will be done on SmackDown.
I think so as well.
Because they've got Aaliyah and the mum involved. Mm-hmm. I think that's when it will be done. It'll be done on SmackDown. But I don't hate this idea of them attacking Conan at the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
John Wick 1GM says, Dom gets the match with Rey having Rhea put his sister through a table.
That's a fun shout.
Ben Greenwood, I really enjoyed this Raw. No. Dom should put her through a table.
That's also fun.
Yeah. Let's move Rhea out of this because Rhea needs to do Charlotte Flair stuff.
Yeah.
Dom puts Aaliyah through a table.
That's fun.
That's the way to do this.
Yeah.
Ben Greenwood, I really enjoyed this Raw. I watched it live and I don't normally, and it didn't feel anywhere near as long as it used to. Dominic has been improving, but the repeating of the same lines for about 6 weeks is getting old. SmackDown has to finally lead us to a match.
Yeah, I think so.
Hot tag to you.
We got some that were missed from the Dynamite review from last week. And they're all from Hannah Allen. They said, hello, lovely. So congratulations on cutscene. I'm really looking forward to the first video. You guys were joking about getting views up the same way when YouTube changed things and you needed successive vids way back when. Something I figured out. Chromecast. Two, if you're casting to a TV, whatever, and you don't press stop but stay connected to that device, but change smart TV apps, your Chromecast stays connected. It'll suck you through your vids and you stop or get disconnected based off viewing history. And three, I never tried to miss an episode across all your premium daily content channels. You guys make me happy and keep me sane. I haven't watched random episodes of Blood in the Clock Tower and Quizlemania three or four times over. Lol. I just figured a way to help. Lots of love.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hannah Allen.
You are amazing. And thank you very much for the congrats on cutscene. It's very lovely of you.
Yes.
First episode launches on April 8th.
That's soon.
It is very soon.
Yeah. Captain Huggles says, love the Monday Night War, guys. Pete, it's time for you to take over. Life will not change for Luke Owen. I feel it in my bones. Wake up, get out there, medical Bill. This season is an awakening of willpower that could only be described as Luke's last surprise. That's so much Persona 5 in there. So many soundtrack references. Love it. Thank you.
Very good.
The amount of comments, tweets, everything people were like, well, now Pete has to win because he's listening to Persona 5.
Listen, I made...
So good.
I made some errors in trying to get people on my side.
You did.
I did not listen to Persona 5 and I made Logan Paul my WWE champion.
Oh, man. Have you seen Harriet's reaction videos? No. To Draft Day or Episode 1?
I haven't seen episode... I've watched the Draft Day one, but yeah. I haven't seen Episode 1 yet.
Literally, as soon as you make him WWE champion, she's like, Luke! Like, she's so disappointed in you. It's so great.
Everyone go and watch Harriet Manga Girl's reaction videos to the Monday Night
Monday
War.
Night War.
It's
very
so,
good.
It's very, very good.
And wholesome.
Oh, that's so funny.
Especially the special cameo that we have in episode one, which is awesome. She has a great reaction to that too.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Vaughn has become a member. I'll be at Dynamite the week after Mania. Watch for the sign. Pete, please win Monday Night Wars again. # medical bill for champion. Maybe. We'll see. Aaron Rude has become a member. Thank you so much. Matt Carney said, Luke, last week I invited you to join me and popular light entertainer Noel Edmonds the Chesterton Wool Museum. You failed to turn up. This made Noel cry and I had to buy him an ice cream. What say you to that?
You gave me an option of deal or no deal and I opted for no deal. So that's what happens. It's a good Noel Edmonds. That's a good Noel Edmonds reference. Yeah,
pretty good.
Pretty happy with that Noel Edmonds reference.
That's fantastic.
I was trying to think. I was racking my brain trying to think of something about Crinkly Bottom, and I couldn't. I was like, I'm going to have to go with Deal or No Deal.
Feels a Dream says, does the amount of days held affect the emotional impact? Roman has already had years into this run going into Mania, but would it have more psychological impact losing it over 1,000 days into it, or vice versa, where Roman comes so close to 1,000 but can't? I think it's an extra element to it. Like, the length of time of the reign is obviously important. The fact that Reigns has held it for, like, 2.5 years now is important in the story. But I don't think the actual number of, like, oh, it's 1,000. You know, if it was at 999 versus 1,000, I don't think it really changes.
I also think for Roman, it's not about him getting to 1,000 days. Like, that's not his target. He wants to be champion forever.
Yeah.
So, like, him being like, oh, I'm so close to 1,000 days doesn't matter.
It
doesn't factor into his character.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's something that Pete mentioned earlier, which I completely agree with. It's the time.
Yeah.
we've been kind of like, you know, this whole Roman thing, we've been looking like, well, when's the time? When is the time for this to
end? Who's the guy that can do
it? Who's the guy that can do it? And we found the guy that can do
it. Oh, yeah.
And not only have we found the guy, we found like the right time, the right story, the right emotion.
Like the build has been great.
The build's been great, but it's also the culmination of lots of other Bloodline things. You know, Drew felt like the right guy because he was in the right place at the right time in Wales, in Cardiff. But that was
his hometown.
But it was in his hometown. But it was not the right time for the Bloodline.
No, it wasn't.
And it wasn't the right time when Sammy had him in Elimination Chamber. It wasn't the right time with Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the right time with Logan Paul.
Yeah.
But it is the right time now.
Yeah.
It is time for the Bloodline story to end.
I think that this is a time where if you dethrone Roman Reigns, people want it to happen. And I think people will not feel let down or disappointed by Cody winning. And I think there have been quite a few Roman Reigns opponents where if they won, people have been like, oh, that's how the reign's going to end. Okay. Whereas I think if it happens here, people are going to be like, awesome. What a great story.
Yeah, they've done really, really well with this as well because people want to see Cody win. Cody is getting the reactions that you want from the guy who is going to dethrone Roman Reigns.
Exactly,
very, very good.
Yeah. Josh Talman said, finally able to donate. Thought I wasn't able to watch, but I did. I'm currently waiting for my girlfriend to be induced. I'm becoming a father today.
Whoa!
Have a wonderful day, everyone. Congratulations.
Congratulations. That's so awesome.
I hope it all goes well. It's amazing.
Sorry she's got to be induced, but still. That's very, very good. That's good news.
Yeah.
It's good news. It's an okay thing to be done. My wife was going to be induced and then her waters broke just before she had it done. She was literally on the table and her waters broke. But yeah, it's scary, but it's awesome. So you'll have a great time. Let's close the poll.
Josh Tillman, DAD.
Absolutely, yeah. Last thing I'll say before, just as we end the poll here, Noel Edmonds looks a lot like the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. Google.
Yeah, sure.
Thumbs up, 74%, mid 22%, only 3% thumbs down for the episode.
Think that checks out?
Yeah, I don't think I could have ever given this a thumbs down.
No, not at all.
Not at all, not with and all that great stuff.
I think the people that are thumbs downing are either doing it to sabotage the poll, or they just really don't like the Bloodline stuff, and they don't like Reigns or
which
whatever.
I think it's also
fair. Which is fair.
It's fair enough.
If you don't like it, whatever.
That's all we've got time for on this edition of the show. Please click the link in the video description down below, because we've got another episode of Worst Match Ever, which you can go and watch here on the WrestleTalk Podcast channel. And also head on over to Parts of Unknown and check out me and Pete playing through WWE 2K23 My GM Mode in the Monday Night War. Draft Day and Episode 1 are currently live, and if you head on over to patreon.com/resttalk, you'll get access to Episode 2, as well as our Booking Podcast, where we go behind the scenes of the making of the Monday Night War.
You get to hear all about how on Draft Day all the electrics blew in the studio.
Oh yeah! We had a big old explosion here in the office.
Yeah.
When I say big, it's
quite minor.
Quite minor.
But it did cut out all the electrics.
It was concentrated to one plug socket where the fuse blew.
Yeah.
But until then, I have been Lico and DAD. That has been Pete! Jam that jam. Jam that jam. Jam that jam. Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.